Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Screen Nerds Podcast. My name's Michael Burgett, and thanks for joining me for this rescreen episode of Godzilla King of the Monsters, the 1956 monster film. Just got done rewatching it, and wanted to share some of my thoughts and memories of seeing the film for the first time, as well as my thoughts on this latest rewatch. So, Godzilla is one of my favorite films, one of my favorite series of all time. I grew up with Godzilla and really had just been such a huge fan of him as a character and the series as a whole, and just fell in love the first time I saw it. And what's funny is that this film, I don't really exactly remember the first time I saw it because I was so young. I think it was just on TV playing on one of the local TV stations, and all I remember is that there's not been a time in my life that I don't remember Godzilla, and I don't remember this film. It's a film that as soon as I got a VCR for my room as a kid, I got a VHS copy of Godzilla and wore it out watching it all the time. I remember there was one time, I think it was in fourth grade, where I took my VHS copy of Godzilla King of the Monsters to class, and we watched it as a class. It was one of those days where we didn't have anything to do, and we had like an off day or something, and so we, as a class, watched Godzilla, and so and it's a film that I have multiple copies of. I have it obviously on VHS, I have it on DVD and Blu-ray as a part of compilations, but it's a film that I love, and it's a film that obviously is dated for the time that it released, but even so, there are a lot of things that hold up, even this version, because this version, if you don't know or don't remember, is the Americanized version of the 1954 Gojira, which is the original Japanese film. This film came out 2 years later, and it was Americanized because it introduced an American character by the name of Steve Martin, who's played by Raymond Burr. And Steve Martin is essentially the eyes and ears of the American audience. He is kind of the person that is supposed to be the avatar for the American audience as they are watching what's going on. Because in this version of the story, Steve Martin is a reporter who is traveling on his way to Cairo, but he stops off in Japan to visit his friend, Dr. Sarazawa, and gets caught up in everything that's going on with Godzilla. And because he's a reporter, he reports what's going on. And so we see and hear from his perspective kind of what's going on with Godzilla. And that's how this version tells the story. And 3/4 of the film is told through flashbacks. It's told through looking into the past, because it's in the original film, it is told linearly. It goes from point A to point B. This film starts off, like I said, about 3/4 of the way through what the original film was, then backtracks and tells the story, and then finishes it at the end. It was, you know, it's a way of, I've heard some describe it as kind of a film noir type of storytelling. And, you know, I give credit to Terry Morse, who's the quote-unquote director of this version. He's also an editor. That was his trade, as well as, you know, being a director. And, you know, he had to do pretty impressive work considering that he's taking a film that's already made, it's already been printed and sent out, and he's having to, you know, insert new characters and new story essentially into this film and try and piece it together. And so for the for what he's able to do and what he did, you know, it's pretty impressive. He, you know, not just for 1956, but for 2023, I would find it very difficult, I think, for anybody to take a completed film and then try and insert new characters and new story elements and try to make it as seamless as possible. You can obviously see some of the element issues if you want to nitpick and everything, but really, even in this latest rewatch as an adult, I find it very impressive how the story elements of, especially the beats of the story, are pretty good. Like I said, there are things you can nitpick about the story and, you know, compared to the original version. Obviously, the original version is, you know, if you were to compare the two, the superior version, because of the fact that it keeps a lot of the elements of the story that really give it a more impactful tone to it. That's not to say that this version doesn't. There are still the elements that are impactful. It's just when you have to tinker around with the timing and the layout of the narrative, there are some elements, obviously, that get lost in that moving of puzzle pieces together. But I think really, rewatching it here now, and, you know, decades later, from when I first saw the film, I still appreciate and enjoy the film. There are a couple of things that kind of stood out in this latest rewatch for me. A few that are really just kind of silly things, and then one that was just kind of a really pondering thing. One of the silly things that stood out to me was the fact that Steve Martin switches back from smoking a cigarette to smoking a pipe. You know, obviously in the 50s, you know, smoking in films was prevalent. It was, you know, because society, you know, smoking was prevalent, and it wasn't, you know, what it is today with, you know, anti-smoking and, you know, really the huge cutback on showing that on screen. But it was just funny that he goes from smoking a cigarette on a plane, you know, which is definitely not anything that would happen even today or even 30 years ago. But the fact that, you know, he goes from smoking a cigarette on a plane to then smoking a pipe to then back to smoking a cigarette to back to smoking a pipe. I don't know why this time around, that stood out to me and was just kind of weird as to why he would go back and forth. You would think he would just smoke a cigarette or he'd smoke a pipe, not go back and forth. But that just kind of stood out to me in this rewatch. Another thing that stood out to me was recycling of some scenes. Now, obviously, one scene that was obviously recycled was the quote-unquote hospital scene with Steve Martin, which starts the film. And then once Godzilla finally attacks the city, they go back to that scene again. But there were a couple other scenes that I noticed that got recycled several times that, for some reason, again, I didn't pay attention to or didn't notice the many other times that I've seen the film. But this time, it just kind of stood out to me that they literally recycled elements of scenes and just used them again. And just, I didn't realize it until this rewatch that happened. And so I don't know if that was intentional or it was just something that just kind of happened or how that worked, but that was something that was interesting as well. And also too, there was obviously, if you know this film, you know that Steve Martin is at times put in with some of the original Japanese cast, and they use that method of trying to blend him in there by showing the backs of the Japanese cast and saying that that's Dr. Yamani or that's Emiko. And one scene, obviously, early on, there's Steve Martin's talking to Emiko, and he sees, you know, he's looking up at Emiko, and you cut to then Emiko, and Emiko and the original Moko Kochi is just staring directly ahead, and it doesn't look like she's looking down at Steve. And later on, there's another scene where she's supposed to be at his bedside and talking to Steve. And they use a scene, Terry Morris uses a scene where Emiko is looking down. And I didn't notice that before. I always noticed the other one where she's just looking straight ahead and doesn't look down. And when I saw the scene where she's looking down and it looks like that she is actually looking at Steve, I was kind of taken aback, because I was always in my mind, always remembering the first scene, not realizing that there actually was a scene where there Emiko is looking down, and it kind of blends together a little bit better. And so that's another one where I wonder why that scene was not used earlier in the film to make it blend even more. But that, again, that's one of those things where it's nitpicking. And if you're a film watcher of this back when it premiered in 1956, it would just flow right by and you wouldn't really have time to think about it. But, you know, with today and having, you know, Blu-rays and DVDs where you can hit pause and stop and look at something, or, you know, really have that clarity of the picture to be able to see it, those things kind of stand out to you. One other thing that stood out to me in this latest rewatch was the security officer that is kind of the tag along with Steve Martin. He's kind of the one that is the translator that goes along with him wherever he goes, kind of as the liaison in some ways, but also, like I said, as a translator. And what's funny is he's there throughout the majority of the film, but then at the end, when they're going out to take care of Godzilla with the oxygen destroyer, he's nowhere to be found. Like you don't see the security officer Tomo anywhere. Like, and there's no explanation as to what happens to him. It's like he just disappears, and there's no, like, he doesn't say whether, you know, Steve Martin never mentions whether he gets killed or what happens to him. He's just not there at the end. And I wonder if it's just because they didn't have Frank Iwanaga, who is the actor that played the security officer. I don't know if he just wasn't available that day for the shoot, or they just didn't think that they needed an explanation as to what happened to him. But that really kind of stood out to me, is that, you know, you have this guy who's there, and he's kind of an important figure in the Steve Martin version of the story, and then he's just nowhere to be found at the end. That just kind of, maybe he, you know, now that I think about it, maybe he's the guy that's, you know, that had died next to Steve in the building whenever Godzilla topples it. But again, we don't see his face, that character's face, so we don't know for certain. It's a mystery. We don't know, but that's just something that stood out to me. Another thing too that stood out was, and it's something that I always, you know, remembered even from when I first saw the film, was the way that they used the regular Japanese track in some of the scenes. And they, like I said, they had the security officer translate to Steve what was being said. But then other scenes, they used, you know, obviously they used the dubbing to, you know, get the dialogue across. And when I was a kid and, you know, growing up, it made sense as to the places that they did the dubbing, especially with Emiko and Dr. Serizawa. When there's nobody else around, it's understandable to use a dubbing there. But there were a couple scenes, you know, in this latest rewatch that I wondered as to why they didn't have the translator do it, and especially the scene in the Senate, in the Diet, where Dr. Yamani is speaking. They use the dubbed voice of Dr. Yamani there. When thinking about it, it doesn't really make sense if he's speaking to the senators there. As why would he be speaking in English to them? He should be speaking Japanese, but again, that's a little nitpicky stuff, and for some reason that just kind of stood out to me in this rewatch. But overall, I love this film. I still love this film. It's the film that I grew up on. It's the film that made me a Godzilla fan. And while I prefer the original Japanese version, especially having seen the original Japanese version, decades later, from when I first saw the original, when I first saw the American version, this version still really holds a special place in my heart, because it gave me the opportunity for the first time to see Godzilla and to enjoy that franchise, and really sparked the interest in Godzilla that I still have to this day, and seeing all the different films and being super excited always about the next one, because it's it's more Godzilla to love and enjoy, and it all goes back to this film. And so I will always love and appreciate this film. So that's my thoughts and memories on Godzilla, King of the Monsters. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this film and your memories when you saw it the first time, what you enjoy about this film. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. You can share your thoughts anytime by email, screennerdspodcast@gmail.com. You can always find us on Twitter @ScreenNerdsPod and share your thoughts there. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, and also Blue Sky now, just by searching Screen Nerds Podcast, hitting that follow button, hitting that like button, and sharing your thoughts there. And if you get an opportunity, please rate and review and subscribe to the podcast. We're on all your places that you get your podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Good Pods, CastBox, Amazon Music, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. If you would, please rate and review, leave a 5-star review, hopefully leave a written review, and share the podcast around. It really does help get the word out, and really just thanks a bunch for being a part of the community, and let others know so that they can come be a part of the community as well, where we can all love and celebrate films together. So again, thanks for joining me for this rescreen episode. My name is Michael Burgett, and we will catch you on the next episode.